take your Bible and open to the book of Philemon. A couple weeks ago, we started a new study in this small book. It's a small letter, actually, that Paul wrote to Philemon. And you can find it tucked away right before the book of Hebrews. It's like a half page, so he's hard to find. But I have been so encouraged just even the few weeks that we've been going through this, just amazing things that we find here from the Apostle Paul. Last week, if you were with us, we looked at the heart of Paul and the heart of Philemon. And we saw that Paul had a heart of prayer and he had a heart of thanksgiving. He was thankful for all the believers that God had placed in his life. And when we looked at Philemon, we saw that Philemon had a heart of faith. He trusted in God. And he also had a great heart of love. Paul said he had love for all the saints. And so today we want to look deeper into this man, Philemon, who he was. Again, most of us probably don't know a whole lot about this guy. But today, hopefully, you'll get a bigger picture of who he is. So today, we're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7. Out of the book of Philemon. And we read this. Paul says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Again, last week we focused on Paul's devotion to prayer. He was a man of prayer. If you knew Paul, you could be assured of this one thing. Paul was praying for you. When you came to Paul's mind, he would say this, oh God, I'm so thankful for Timothy. I'm so thankful for Phoebe. Well, when Philemon came to the mind of Paul, what do you think he did? The same thing. We saw that back in verse 4 of Philemon. Paul said this. He said, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. And so not only did Paul have a heart of thanksgiving for Philemon, but he also had a request. He prayed for Philemon. And what did he pray for? We find that in verse 6. He said, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Now, when you hear that phrase, sharing your faith, what comes to your mind? Most of us probably think of evangelizing, right? We use that phrase, share our faith. We think of sharing the gospel or sharing Jesus with someone who doesn't know Jesus, someone who doesn't believe in Jesus. Now, it's possible, slightly possible, that Paul had that in mind when he wrote this, but it's more likely that what Paul is referring to here is the sharing of your faith among believers, among those with a common faith in Jesus. When we look at that word sharing in the Greek, it's the word koinonia. Most of us have learned that word koinonia as what? Come on, church. Fellowship, right? It's often translated fellowship. It means communion or sharing your life together. And it's in the context of believers who are sharing their faith together. Another reason why this is meant this way is because of the context. When you look at the context of verse 6, how do you know what the context is? What do to know the context? You read what? Before and after, right? That's how you get the context. In verse 5, Paul is talking about the love that Philemon had for all the saints. In verse 7, he talks about how he refreshes all the saints. So again, it's likely that Paul here is talking about the commonality of faith that you share with one believer to another believer. This is what's meant here. Now, all that being said, please don't think that you're somehow off the hook when it comes to evangelizing or sharing your faith with those who don't know Jesus. Just don't use this verse, okay? When you want to learn about evangelism and the command to evangelize, it's not this verse. There's plenty of other verses that you can go to that tell us that we need to share Jesus with others. And so we see that Paul wanted Philemon here to be active in sharing his faith. He wanted him to take time to fellowship with other believers. And as we read our Bible, we see that Paul not only desired to see this in Philemon, but he wanted it in his own life as well. Look with me at Romans Chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. As Paul here writes to the Roman Christians, he says this, "I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." And I think this really defines what we just read when he's talking about sharing your faith. There's this give and take. There's this mutual edification that takes place between believers as they fellowship together in the Lord. Paul knew that because the Holy Spirit lived in him and the Spirit had gifted him in some ways, that he could impart something to another believer and vice versa. That believer that he was sharing with, guess what? If this because they're a believer, then the Holy Spirit lives in them. And that means the Holy Spirit has gifted them in some way, and they could impart something to Paul. And so there's this mutual sharing that happened in the life of Paul and Philemon. And Paul, again, was so excited by this and wanted to see this in Philemon's life. Well, let me ask you, do you see great value in fellowship? We see Paul here had a great value, put high priority on fellowship. Do you see great value in fellowship? Is there a top priority for fellowship in your life? When we look at the early church, we see that this was something that was a great, great priority in their lives. Look with me at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, very familiar verse. But here we read this, they, referring to the early church, those early believers who just got saved at Pentecost, what did they do? They devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Not only was fellowship important, but we see three other things there, right? The apostles' teaching, which is the word of God. Breaking of bread, which was likely the remembrance of what Jesus had done upon the cross. And to prayer. Four things that they were devoted to. Now, I'm sure there were more, but those were four key things. It's kind of like the chair that you're sitting in today. It has four legs. Now, if I were to cut off one of those legs, how would you guys be doing? It'd be kind of neat to watch all you guys try to balance yourself on your chair with just three legs, but you could probably do it. How about if I cut two legs off? Well, then it'd be really fun to watch you guys. How about three legs where there's just one? Then it'd be fun watching you guys all fall to the ground, right? But the picture here is there's four things that these believers were devoted to. They were foundational to their life, and these things, of course, should be foundational to our life as well. Are you devoted? Are you devoted to those four things when you think about those things? The Word of God, fellowship, remembering the death of Jesus, and prayer. Are you resting on all four legs, or is your spiritual life a bit shaky, you could say? If you say today, you know, Pastor, I really don't feel very motivated in my Christian life. I feel pretty weak. I feel pretty rickety. Could it be that maybe these four things are just not a priority in your life because you're not devoted to one or more of those four things? Well, what is one result of sharing your faith? Or this fellowship that is in mind here when Paul writes to Philemon. Well, we see in verse 6, Paul would go on to say this, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ." Now, some of your translations may have knowledge instead of understanding there. And there's a difference, isn't there, between truly understanding something and just knowing about something. There's one thing to have head knowledge, right? And there's something to experience something and you know it in that way. And what's being implied here, what's meant here, is this knowledge that comes through experience. You see, it's one thing for me to go to Darien Lake and to sit on a bench and look up at that huge roller coaster and say, "I know what that is. That's Superman. That's the Man of Steel." And I know that that top height there is 208 feet tall. And that angle right there, that's a 70-degree angle that coaster goes down. And that reaches a speed of 75 miles an hour. It's one thing to say that while I'm sitting on a park bench reading a brochure, right? It's a whole nother ballgame to be strapped into this steel car and to be slowly going up the 208 feet and hearing the clickety-clack, right? You've been with me, Sue. I think, Sue, you rode with me once, right? And I was singing Amazing Grace as we're going up. And then you get to the top. You're at that 208 feet, and then you're like standing in this hunk of metal, and you're looking down 208 feet at the water below, and then you know what that's like when you feel the 75-mile-an-hour wind come in your face. There's a difference, isn't there, between just knowing something in your head and experiencing it. And this is what Paul is saying here. Philemon, you want to experience the good things in Christ? Then fellowship. Fellowship with Christians. There's no such thing as if you're a lone ranger, you're not going to experience the good things that you can find in Christ. What good things? Good things like the love of Christ, the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ, the mercy of Christ, all the good things that we learn about in the Word. Listen to what James would say about these good things of God. James says in James 1:17, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James would say that every good thing you have in Christ comes from the Father above. And so Paul says to Philemon, I want you to know these things and experience these things. Well, how about you? Are you knowing Christ in this way? You see, it's one thing to read the brochure. It's one thing to read the Bible and quote it and know it and go to study after study. It's a whole other ballgame, isn't it, to live it out, to experience it, to actually fellowship with other believers where you share your faith, you share who Jesus is and what he's done in your life and what he's doing in your life now. Paul says, I want you to experience those things. And as a church, I pray that we would realize the importance of fellowship. It's so easy to just maybe think it's really not that important. But it is. It is so important to our spiritual growth. Please don't be like those who were written about in the book of Hebrews. We read this in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me emphasize that last phrase, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, as you see the return of the Lord getting closer and closer, and I can tell you this, we are one day closer than we were yesterday. That's how much I know about the return of Christ. Well, maybe a little bit more. But I can guarantee you that much, that we're one day closer. Therefore, because we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ, our fellowship, our getting together, our encouragement should be increasing rather than decreasing, is what the writer of Hebrews says there. Okay, so we looked at what Paul prayed for concerning Philemon. Now let's look at what Paul says about this man, Philemon, about who he was. Verse 7, Paul says this. Again, you can just see the affection, the love, the heart of Paul here. He says to Philemon, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Last week we heard where Paul said, Philemon had a love for all the saints. And we talked about love quite a bit last week, and we went over part of 1 Corinthians 13, if you were here. And basically I said, that's the standard, that's the measuring stick of whether or not we're truly loving, if we have a deep love or a shallow love. You want to know how deep your love is? Is it patient? Is it kind? Or is it proud and envious and arrogant and all those things? Does it keep a record of wrongs? Does it insist on its own way? That's how you know whether or not you're loving like God wants you to love. I don't want to rehash all that today, but I do want to look at the impact or the results that Philemon's love had on other people. And so there's three things here that Paul mentions. First is joy. It's joy. Paul rejoiced when he saw and witnessed the love of this man, Philemon. The Apostle John would say in his third letter, he would write this. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, basically my brothers and sisters, are walking in the truth. And to walk in truth is to walk in obedience. And to walk in obedience is to walk in love. And so when we live out the second greatest commandment, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves, when we walk in love, then we can actually produce or see a joy come about in other people's lives. I use the word can there and not always will. Why? Because there's no guarantees that when you love someone, that they're going to jump up and down and smile and rejoice at the love that you extend to them. In fact, they could do just the opposite. They could complain and frown as you try to love them. There are no guarantees that people will respond with joy when you love them. However, why? Why should we love people? Should we love people because we expect a certain response from them? Answer? No. What kind of love is that? That is the love of this world, isn't it? This is how the love of this world operates. It says, I'm going to seek to love you. And if you don't love me the way I like, then forget you. Well, I'm not going to waste my time on you if you're not going to respond in a way that I like. And so we have such a shallow view of love, really a worldly view of love. But what is the godly view of love? It's spoken of in Romans 5:8, isn't it? But God demonstrates his own love for this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us while we were in a state of ungratefulness, no joy, had nothing to offer. God loved us. And God says to us, I want you to love others in that same way. Now, is it nice when people rejoice at the love you extend to them? Absolutely, that's a nice thing. But is it a guarantee? No. So what should we do? Love everybody. Love those who are like Paul, who rejoice at your love, and love those who may not rejoice at your love. So joy is number one. Paul was filled with joy at the love of Philemon. Secondly, we see that Philemon's love brought Paul encouragement. Some of your Bibles may have the word comfort there. This word is closely related to the word that Jesus used when he talks about the Holy Spirit. Remember when he said to his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to leave you a counselor or a comforter who will be with you forever. And when you think about the Holy Spirit who God gives to us as believers, what is really a main purpose of the Spirit in our lives? Is it not to strengthen us? Because God knows each day we'll have trouble. Each day we'll have trials and struggles, sins to overcome, and you will need strength. And so he says, I'm giving the Holy Spirit to you to strengthen you, to encourage you. This is the idea here of the encouragement that Paul talks about. We see that when Paul saw this love, it actually strengthened his own soul. It brought him encouragement. Let me ask you, how many of you today need some encouragement? Be honest. I think if you're honest, we'd all say, yeah, I'm not fully encouraged. Right? We all get to that spot where we say, be nice to get a little bit of encouragement. Why is that? Because this world is so self-centered, self-consumed, and when we start thinking like the world, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? So think about this. If I'm just assuming that all of us here would like to be encouraged, every believer. If every believer you know would like to be encouraged, and Paul says the way he was encouraged by Philemon's love, then guess how we can encourage the body of Christ? Love one another. As we seek to love as Christ has loved us, we can be an encouragement. We can strengthen the body of Christ. And so I'd encourage you to do that. And thirdly, is refreshment. Paul says that not only did Philemon bring joy and encouragement to his soul, but he also refreshed the hearts of the saints. Look with me at Proverbs 11, verse 25. It says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Now keep in mind, this is a proverb, and so it is not an absolute statement. It's a principle that we find here. But the principle or the point of this proverb is this. As you seek to refresh others, in the process, you may find that your own soul is being refreshed. In other words, be that person. Be that person that gives. Be that person that serves. Be that person that pours out into other people. It may be blood, sweat, and tears, but just do it. Seek to refresh others, because in the process, you'll find that God is able to refresh you as well. This is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6. Let's look at that. Luke 6, 38. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now the prosperity preachers love to jump all over this verse, right, and think that giving here applies to money. And so they'll tell the people through their TV screens, you give to my ministry and God's going to bless you double, triple, tenfold. Yeah, it's going to be coming back in your lap. It's going to be running over. You're going to be flooded over with wealth. What's the context of this verse if you've read it? What's it about? It's about love. Jesus had just said this, do not judge, do not condemn, forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given back to you. Pour out forgiveness, pour out grace, pour out love, and guess what you'll find? God Almighty will pour grace and love and mercy right into your soul as well. Refresh others and you'll be refreshed. We see this was the heart of the Apostle Paul. Paul knew this principle. And so this is why he wrote things like this to the church in Ephesus. Let's look at our final scripture for today. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The idea here is that Christ would abide. Every day, Christ would be abiding in your life. You would be abiding in him. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know, and the know there is not just head knowledge, to experience, understand this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you want to be refreshed? Do you want to be refreshed? Then here's what Scripture says: give, serve, pour out love, extend grace, be so consumed with the love of God, the love that God has for you. And this is the picture Paul is painting here. Hey, church, I want you to just get how big it is and how wide. Because when you get how big it is, then you'll be able to love others in the same way. And as you love others, guess what? God will pour back into you just more love, more grace. It's going to be overflowing in your lap. You won't know what to do with all the love that God has for you. Are you experiencing that deep, deep love of God? Can you honestly say yes today? If not, then maybe there's two reasons why. One is you're a believer and you're just, maybe things have happened and your heart has been hard and you're just not loving like you know you ought to. And so if that's you today, then just repent of that. Say, God, I need to get back to my first love. I need to know you. I need to know your love in a deeper way so I can have the ability to love others. But there's another reason why maybe you don't experience that kind of love. It could be because you don't know Christ. The only love you know is a human love. It's a worldly love. It's a surfacey love. It's a love that expects others to do certain things when you do certain things. And so you've never experienced the unconditional love that God has for sinners. That while I, Eric, was a rebel and defiant, while I was just seeking my own way and my own will, there was a man 2,000 years ago who died upon a cross for me so that I could be forgiven. That is love. Have you experienced that love in your life? And if not, then let today be the day of salvation where you turn to Christ. You understand that it was your sin that placed Jesus upon the cross. And he says, turn from that. Don't take sin lightly. Don't walk in sin anymore. You can be a new creation, a new person, if you would but turn and trust wholly in Christ and the grace of Christ. If you haven't done that, then do that today. Don't let a moment go by without bowing your knee and your heart to King Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, I'm so grateful for this letter. I know we can breeze through it and just think it's such a surfacey thing, but we thank you for the depths that we see as we just go slowly through each word and we see the heart of Paul and we see the life of Philemon and we see the importance of fellowship and love and all these things that we need. And Father, today we pray that we would be able to do those things through the power of your Spirit. Lord, none of us are perfect. We all have a long way to go, but Lord, we know through you we can be imitators of Christ. And so help us. Help us, O God. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.